This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Got Sam and Jason. Nine floats up in the Kia studio. Nice looking day outside. Going to be a little cold, though. Colder than it's been the last couple of weeks. The temperature's going back down after that rain that came through yesterday, the rain and storms that came through yesterday. Thankfully, that's not the case today, and hope everybody's got their power back on and able to get whatever trees or branches that may have come down, hopefully get those things cleared away. We're with you this morning. It's the top of the hour, and we will say, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And morning to the folks in Dallas, Georgia.
Paulding County.
Well, wonderful. Paulding County. Hope everybody's doing well out there this morning as we salute once again our essential workers and people who have to be on the job today while others enjoy a day off. Hope you've been with us. We're here up until 10 o'clock, so we've been part of the morning shift, and we're going to get a little bit of the steakhouse in there at 9 o'clock to 10. We have to say it right there. Steakhouse. We have to say it like that.
How do you say it?
Steakhouse.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming up in the next hour. But right now we got our 8 o'clock hour. And, we had a chance to spend some time with David Archer, of course, of the Falcons broadcast crew. And his thoughts about the Falcons, some things we may watch for now that the season is all done and all the football is done and all the work of reshaping and retooling this roster to making it the best as possible for the upcoming season. We had a chance to spend some time with him, and you can hear it now in this radio replay. Of course, we also talked about the NFL and Falcons and what we're looking for now in the coming weeks as we get set for the draft, combine, pro days, and eventually putting them on the field there, right? The rookie mini camp, and we're ready to start it all over again. The guy who's keeping up with all of it as well, he's getting a little downtime too, is Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network, joins us now. Dave, good morning.
Sam, good to be with you, man. You bring me back a little too legit to quit. I got Hammer. We got Andre Rison going to walk in through the door. Maybe a little Dion. What you got going on for me? We back in black? What's going on?
Jared Glanville. Come on, man. You can imagine putting that crew back together, huh?
Yeah. We're back in 91, 92. What are we doing?
Yeah, those are some times. Those are some times for this team. Fantastic times. A lot of fun times. And a lot of people are looking forward to more fun times with this football team as they see the potential that's there for this Falcons team. A little aggravated still about the way things finished, but you saw what could be for the future for this team. And now, what are the priorities, Dave, as you reconfigure this roster to pick up kind of where you left off and carry it forward?
Yeah, it's really an interesting case study here, Sammy, when you start thinking about what you need to do. Certainly understand the frustrations and irritation with the fan. This was a year that was supposed to be a year where Atlanta got over the hump. 7-10 seasons for three consecutive seasons. This is supposed to be a team that was going to be playoff bound. And it looked like we were headed that way, and then just kind of crash landed mid season. And so, trying to pick up the pieces as you look forward. Certainly, you love the fact that you've got some young stars. I think Penix is going to be an unbelievably good player. I think we already know that Bijan Robinson is a star. I think that we see the emergence of what Drake London can be as a number one receiver. And you love the way the offensive line has continued to really be pretty good and productive. That offense now, top 10 in rushing and throwing the football. That was something you wanted to get back to. That was where you were back in the days of Matt Ryan and Devontae Freeman and Roddy White and Julio Jones. You got back to some of those levels offensively. Defensively, obviously, is where the struggles are. And you've had a couple of defensive coordinators over the last couple of years. Now you've got another guy in Jeff Ulbrich who knows Atlanta, comes back, has learned a lot of stuff over the last few years with a really good defense in New York. But priorities are obviously going to have to fall to the evaluation of the roster, and Terry and Raheem and the staff have a big job in trying to evaluate just who do you hang on to. They've got some really tough decisions with a couple of guys in the interior defensive line. When you start talking about David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett, two guys that have been very good football players in this league. And you've got one, in my opinion, who's the heart and soul of the team. A guy that, you know, just doesn't set the tone in a game. He sets the tone in practice. He sets the tone in your off-season workouts, and that's Grady Jarrett. He's a guy that, when you start talking about culture and things of that nature, those are things that you don't really want to mess with, and you want to make sure you maintain. And Grady Jarrett's going to be a big decision for them. I know he's due a lot of money, but there's a lot more involved than just stepping on the field. And Grady's a big part of that. I hope he's still, you know, a part of this operation. But those are some of the decisions that they're going to have to make as far as personnel. Who do you re-sign? All those kind of things are being evaluated right now. What can you evaluate? You don't have a ton of draft picks. Who's coming back off injury? I think Ruka Roro has a chance to be a really good player. We don't know a lot about Brandon Dorless, the other defensive lineman. And Braylon Trice, who got hurt in training camp, is a guy that you feel like is going to be able to come back. DeMarco Helms, a safety, that I think, had he not gotten injured, I don't know that you go get Justin Simmons. I think that DeMarco Helms was a pickup in the seventh round. So there's a lot of stuff there that sort out that I just kind of threw out there for you that they're all evaluating all that stuff.
Yeah, spending time on the Wait For It Duck Come Out line with David Archer. Always great to catch up with him at Falcons Radio Network. And he is social. Always find him at ArcherQB16, at ArcherQB16. Talk about the only five draft picks and what that really does to you. You know, it puts a little pressure because you want those draft picks to count. You want to be able to look back and still say, hey, we knocked it out of the park. We hit a home run. But you only got five right now.
Yeah, you're right, Sam. And you got to hit it on the first two. I think I would venture to say, and I think a lot of teams would probably say this is not going too far off the beaten path here, that the first two picks need to be guys that come in and make a big impact. And I think that there was some that are a little concerned. I'm sure those that are on the periphery looking didn't get the impact out of your top picks that you'd like to have gotten this year. Aroro, I think, showed signs of being pretty good. And I think he has a chance to be a really good player. I really do. The second round draft pick out of Clemson from last year. And obviously, the Braylon Trice injury, you know, derailed that. He looked like he was going to be the goods coming off the edge. I think he would have been a nice compliment to Ebba Cady coming off the edge. But, of course, the injury sidelined him. I think that you're looking at the first two picks. You're going to have to get guys that are going to come in and affect the team. And I know a lot of people are looking towards the edge rusher. There's some pretty good ones in this class coming up. There's some guys that are kind of some hidden gems. I know some people have talked about some of the names that are out there. I won't get into that right now. We'll start diving into that pretty soon. But there's some guys that have kind of showed their head a little bit when, you know, at the Senior Bowl and some places like that I think that can impact this team. And you're also going to – you're probably looking, Sam, at the three levels of the defense. I think you're going to probably have to maybe address all three levels. You know, we start talking about the defensive line, whether it's an edge rusher. Obviously, we talked about the – Onyemata, Grady Jarrett stuff, and what you're going to have to do there from a defensive tackle standpoint. But the linebackers, you got a star in Caden Ellis. And you've got a workman-like guy and Landman, but there's some signing things you're going to have to do there to get guys re-signed. Or do you add a guy? Does Troy Anderson come back? He's been disappointing because of the injuries. And then the third level, Like I mentioned, DeMarco Helms, I think he comes back from the injury. I'm not sure you have to do anything at safety. I know Richie Grant's a free agent. You've got some issues at corner. Dee Alford and Mike Hughes, their deals are up. So all three levels of the defense are going to have to be looked at, and I would think that that's probably where they're going to concentrate pretty hard.
All right, Dave, it's Noel here with you. And on the offensive side, I'm looking at Pete Briscoe's list of top free agents, and they have Drew Dolman listed number 7. What is the Falcons' plans for center? Are we keeping Drew Dolman? Are we moving on to Neusel? What do you think happens there?
I think they would like to keep Dolman. I think the continuity along the offensive line is going to be very important to them. I'm not sure where that number is. Obviously, Atlanta doesn't have a ton of money available for free agency. It'll be interesting to see just how sought after Drew Dolman is in free agency. I'm not sure that Pete does a really good job of kind of breaking down some guys that might be interesting to other teams. I don't know where that would fall for Dolman. I think Dolman certainly coming back off the injury, got hurt in week 2, I think, and missed a couple of games. Neusel stepped in, played solidly. But when Dolman came back, I thought there was a pickup and how good we played up front. I think he's rounded into a solid center. Now, there are some good guys in the draft. Now, if you start talking about offensive linemen, centers, interior offensive linemen, and things of that nature, that if you decide to go that direction with one of your draft picks, you could potentially get a guy there. But I think Drew Dolman will certainly be someone they'll concentrate on trying to get back. Just don't know what that number is going to be. I do think he's an important piece, an important cog to the offensive line.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline, talking with Dave Archer, Falcons Radio Network, with us here talking Falcons football. And like I said, once again, he is social. You can find him at ArcherQB16, ArcherQB16. Speaking of QB, we've established now who the starting quarterback will be for this team. We're not sure what happens with Kirk Cousins, whether or not whatever goes on, with him. Talk about the importance of getting the right backup to go along with Penix, because he's still learning. He's still growing. You've seen this time and time again, but how important is it to have the right person there to whisper in his ear and to just be an extra set of eyes for him?
Yeah, I think it's important, Sam. I think that Penix is a little bit different guy. I think that he's a little bit more accomplished than your normal young quarterbacks, okay? And not that he doesn't have more to learn. He certainly does. And we saw him learn in just the 3 games that he played, and his improvement over the 3 games. But, playing 49 games in college, playing in some of the high-impact games he played in, the injuries he had to fight through, he's probably wiser than his age would tell you. And I think that in talking to him, just some of the comments that he made on throws, why he did certain things, they belie his years a little bit. So I think that certainly you want a guy that's there that that you're going to be in meeting rooms with, because, we think about just the game day stuff and a guy walking over and saying, hey, I saw this or whatever. It's the Tuesday through Friday stuff, the Monday through Friday stuff, where you're in meetings together. There's a comfort zone of being able to share information. There's the ability to if you've got a guy that's got some normally you're going to put a guy there that's got some experience that can share, some of the things that they've gone through. But I really think Penix is a little bit different animal than some young quarterbacks. And I think that's why you saw Bo Nix play extremely well. He played, 60 games in college. You see Brock Purdy, how many games he played at Iowa State. I just think some of these guys that are staying in college a little bit longer are coming out, and they're much more prepared to play. And because they're doing things at the college level that are mirroring what's going on in the NFL, and so they're coming in much more ready to go. And I think Penix is one of those kind of guys.
Yeah, that's how I was looking. So from now leading up to draft time, it's going to be quite interesting. The combine, pro days, and then any other free agent moves. It's going to be an interesting time around the NFL, Arch, but especially for this Atlanta team.
Yeah, just within our own division, when you start looking at what's going on in Tampa, what's Kellen Moore going to do, the new head coach in New Orleans, you know, with their quarterback situation, Derek Carr, and they've got some issues with their salary cap. How are they going to handle that to get back to being competitive and being a part of the mix in this division? Certainly Tampa is going to return their people, so we'll see how that plays out. And Carolina, the way they played at the end of the year against us, you know, I think that they go into the offseason on an uptick and feeling pretty good about themselves as they look to 2025. So as much as everyone wants to downplay the NFC South, I think that there are some teams, Atlanta, Carolina, maybe feel like they're starting to climb. And, you know, New Orleans trying to kind of figure it out, and Tampa sitting at the top of the heap. So that's where you got to start. You know, how do we win our division? And that gets us into the postseason dance. But you're right, around the league, what's going on with the Raiders quarterback situation? Where's Russell Wilson going? What are they going to do in Pittsburgh? You know, there's a lot of stuff to follow. But I know all eyes are on Atlanta and his Atlanta fan base because of, you know, some guys here that are venerable names, the Grady Jarretts and people like that of the world. What's the organization going to do with those guys? Because those guys are really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll be watching for that. Dave, we appreciate you spending some time with us. I see that your Cyclones are like in the top 10 right now. Maybe they're going to get into the dance and do some damage, huh?
Well, we're going to try to. Yeah, I think they're 19-5. They got Cincinnati this afternoon. It's a good team. They picked up a couple guys in the transfer portal that have helped them up front. They got two big guys that can play. They've got three guards. You could argue that they might have one of the top five or six teams in the country with their three-guard offense. So it's been fun to watch. DJ Otzelberger's been phenomenal. Take him into the Sweet 16, two of their first 3 years he's been there. And a lot of people like him to make a run here. We'll see what happens.
All right. We'll be watching. It is that time of year. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Always great hearing from you, Dave.
Thanks, Sammy. Good to be with you. You take care, bud.
All right. That is Dave Archer spending some time with us talking about whether the list and things will be priorities for the Atlanta Falcons during this offseason as we work our way up toward the combine, the pro days, and then the draft, things for us to watch for. Appreciate that. All right. We've got one more little mini segment we're going to do before we wrap things up because we got soccer coming up at 11:50. You stay with us on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game and 99TheGame.com. It's Sam, it's Jason, it's Noel, other side of the glass. And we've been in for the morning shift, which the steakhouse takes over at the top of the hour. We'll be here till 10 o'clock on this President's Day, Monday morning. Maybe you're sleeping in, or maybe you're having a day off work today. We're glad you're spending some of your morning with us as well. My goodness, so much has happened over this past weekend, even though the first weekend without the National Football League. There is football next weekend. We got the HBCU Legacy Bowl that takes place in New Orleans. That's next Saturday at 3 o'clock. They're going to have a combine there, and then they're going to play an all-star game down in New Orleans. That's coming up next weekend.
You know why I recommended that last song to bring us back?
What's that?
Well, that was Destiny's Child's first single. Their first album came out on this day in 1998.
On this day?
On this day in 1998. I like the remix better than the original, so I opted for the remix with Wyclef.
But the original was way too grown for some high school girls.
Yeah, it didn't work. It didn't work. The remix, though, that's what set them off. That's what started them on their journey.
That's it. And what a journey.
For Beyonce, for sure.
Wow, my goodness, right? Pretty amazing stuff. Speaking of journeys, of course, you know, we have Atlanta's home for a lot of productions, the film industry, television shows. So much is being produced in the area. And Greg, who is not here in his absence, has released a new casting call. And, you know, as usually when we're on, you know, Greg and I, we'll take a segment and go down some of the opportunities for extras or for you there at home to be a part of some of the productions that are going on, shows or movies that are being produced in our area, to be a part of it as an extra. Or if you have a certain skill or talent that's really needed, a pressing need for it on a cast or a crew, tell you how you can find your way into it. It's the casting call. You can always find it at 929thegame.com/local/casting call. And Greg will update it every week. He has done that, although he's not with us. He's on, you know, on assignment.
He sent this in from chasing down the story of Milli Vanilli.
He did.
There's some interesting ones in this one.
Which one do you see?
The one that jumped out to me, if I can find it again. You got some reality stuff that people always will get into. That can be dangerous. an HBO limited series seeking high school marching band.
Really?
Tuba or sousaphone players, trombone players, and bass drum players. That's an interesting one. That's a little different.
It really is. Wow.
Some baseball projects. Could be some opportunities there, but lots of different things. And what Greg does, too, in the piece that you can get to at 929thegame.com, all the instructions about what you need to do to get considered for it. And there's a lot of opportunities right now.
There really are. The one with the marching band, it specifies the instruments, the ages, 18, 19-year-old, and also where you're going to be shooting, location, Ansley Park, that's down the street and around a couple, few blocks away here, right? And the wings you have to do to submit, you go to, that's through Rose Lock Casting, extras at roselockcasting.com for that particular one. I like this one up at the top here, that Hilton Casting, the Miss Pat Show, which is something, they're looking for people to be background extras for that show. So it's seeking men or women, any ethnicity, all ages. The filming takes place in Atlanta, and this is coming up in March. This is coming up in March of 2025. Go to HiltonCasting.com, and you can go in on that particular one and list yourself, submit your picture, your photo, and see if you get a chance to be a part of it. You know, if you have a place, I know a restaurant here in town that is constantly, rented out for, because they keep it decorated like for a dated piece.
Yeah, yeah.
If you got something from the 70s, you probably think of one of the places I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You go, and it's decorated like a scene from the Brady Bunch.
Yep.
You walk in this place and say they don't change the upholstery. Well, they update it, but it's the same stuff.
Yeah,
and
retro.
So, right. It's a retro look, and several times a year the place will be rented out for a production to go on. If you have a place or a house, or you got a car that's a period piece, they need a car from a certain year, you have that car, you can make money just by having them, use your car. May not drive it. They just may have it parked just so people can see to feel like that particular period.
You got to pay extra to drive it.
I'll pay extra to drive it, especially if you got a collectible now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little extra if you want to do that.
I'm talking about.
But all those things you can find, if you go to 9290 game, /local/casting call and see what Greg has for you. Also, if you got a minor, if you're under a certain age, you got to get that film card from the state of Georgia in order for the young person to do that. But I always say put them kids to work. Make them kids go to work, man, and do that.
You might get your opportunity. Your start might be like one of these projects. They're looking for St. Louis Cardinals baseball fans. Baseball fans in general, but if you're a Cardinals fan, even better. You might start there.
Right.
And then maybe end up in, I don't know, like Saturday Night Live.
How about that? And now that we talk about that, that rolls us into what we're talking about this week. We've been waiting and waiting and anticipating this weekend, the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. And to me, it did not disappoint. It totally delivered.
It was good.
So many of the people come back. What do you think of last night?
It's funny. Like, I probably haven't watched SNL regularly since I was in college. I mean, we're talking like late 90s.
Okay.
I've popped in from time to time throughout, but I watched it religiously in the 90s when I was in high school and in college. It delivered. There was a lot of stuff that I didn't know, a lot of characters that, again, I didn't watch regularly, but it worked. And what we had talked about that I was hoping for that I think totally delivered was getting this mix of older cast members, new cast members. You got the celebrities mixed in. You got characters mixing together that wouldn't normally. It was very well done. It was chaotic, as you would expect. SNL is usually chaotic.
I was about to say, that's their calling card anyway.
When it's at its best, it's chaotic. This one was definitely all over the place. I mean, I saw multiple times where I don't know if they didn't frame the shot right or what, but you'd see the next person on the side, like about to come in. I think Seth Meyers was one during Weekend Update. Like, you saw the chair and you saw somebody sit down. It's like, what's happening to that side? Oh, there it is. But no, it was good. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yep. Noel, what do you think?
I haven't been able to watch the full 3 hours yet. I will do that today, but I've seen bits and pieces, and Eddie Murphy as Tracy Morgan Tracy Morgan.
Oh my goodness, wasn't that great?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
It was absolutely brilliant.
That was one of the better sketches, I thought. Steve Martin doing the monologue, loved it.
I was wondering where Steve Martin was, because again, I hadn't seen the whole thing, but I figured we would see Steve Martin. I like how they brought back. So what I thought was interesting when I watched, because again, I hadn't seen everything, but what I thought was interesting was Domingo is now like solidified as an SNL classic sketch.
Easy.
Like it is here, and even though it's super recent, it fits. It deserves that type of recognition. And then for you to add Sabrina Carpenter to the equation was even more funny. And the story of the bride that shouldn't be is just the gift that keeps on giving. This lady does not need to be married. Y'all don't renew vows? Insanity. But yes, I greatly enjoy Leslie Jones barely being able to keep it together because Eddie came in full form. When he did the Christmas show, he was in top form, and he was in top form last night, clearly, because his Tracy Morgan was dead on.
Yeah, that was
yeah
so
Leslie
good.
Lost it.
Oh,
Leslie was gone. It was good. And then he came back in another sketch that was really good with Will Ferrell late in the night, where Will Ferrell made everybody break.
Was it Scared Straight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard of that one, but I hadn't seen it yet. I know that's going to be
that's
a perfect
Keenan.
Element for Will Ferrell to be in a Scared
100%.
Straight kind of surreal, chaotic situation.
The Q&A with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler was really good. You threw all kinds of cameos into that, and it was really entertaining. You had, for like people my era loving the show, you had a Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. That was always one of my favorite little things in the show, and you got to throw one of those in. I went nuts for that.
Yep, and I thought we saw some of the music people with G.E. Smith along with
Paul Schaefer, and G.E. Smith with their cameo and their bit in it. The music was good. I thought the Miley Cyrus and Brittany Howard cover of Nothing Compares to You was amazing.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. And you got a Paul McCartney sighting, and you're hearing him perform. You never can go wrong when you have him, and he's toward the end. So I thought that was great, too.
You got a digital short. Sandberg came back with another new song. That one was funny. That had a ton of different elements to it that worked really well.
What did Fallon do last night?
He didn't have a huge part.
What did he introduce? He introduced somebody. He was
in the Debbie Downer sketch.
Right.
Okay, I remember Debbie Downer.
Which was good.
She was actually one of my favorites.
You'll like that one. That was a good one with Robert De Niro playing a key role in that. But yeah, he and Drew Barrymore were in that one. Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, I saw Drew was hanging out. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep. You know, one of the sneaky good ones for me was Lorraine Newman, who was from the original cast.
Yes, Lorraine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Chad, Pete Davidson.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was a pairing that I would not have had on my bingo card.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
But it was really good because there were elements where it was super sweet, where she was reminiscing, and then Pete Davidson being Pete Davidson was absolutely not super sweet. very, very funny sketch. But what I took away, my favorite part was Adam Sandler's song. And Sandler, again, is from like my era of the show, but he nailed it with, he always does the songs that are funny, and it had all the funny elements to it. But then there was really touching elements of, you know, Missin' Farley and Missin' Belushi and those guys who aren't with us anymore. That was the highlight of the show for me.
Yeah, he has a great way of striking the emotional element while still being funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being able to go back and forth, that's not easy.
Yeah, he has a knack for it. And we started seeing that in films like Click and Spanglish and stuff like that. You started to see his more well-rounded ability to entertain. But yeah, I mean, from what you told us yesterday, I kind of figured that Adam Sandler showing up with a guitar was going to get A++.
That was plus. Definitely A++. Linda Richmond. You had Mike Myers not go to some of the other characters. Linda Richmond was a big one, but popping in on a Bronx Beat. So you crossed a couple of different eras of the show together in that. I thought it worked. It was fun. It was what I hoped it would be. It's always hard for those things when you have a lot of anticipation for it. Can it live up to the hype?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it did. I thought it was great.
I thought it did as well. SNL was great fun. Great 50 years. Great reflection. Great to see so many of those characters, you know, back and then some of those personalities back again. Fantastic stuff. Something we've been looking forward to. All right, something we look forward to also in our is a visit from Eric Jackson from Sportico. Thoughts about the Atlanta market, thoughts about some of the teams here, what we may see from the business side of sports going into this year. He's on the way next when you stay with us. It is Sam, it is Jason, in for the morning shift here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jason with you this morning on this President's Day Monday morning. Glad you're spending some of this holiday morning with us. If you have the morning off, not having to go to work, thanks for hanging out with us as the Steakhouse comes up at the top of the hour. And we're here until 10 a.m., and so glad you're with us. Bobby Brown came out and did this song and another song at halftime of a Falcons game a couple of years ago, and Bobby came out and worked. He still had some of the dance moves. Okay. He had a lot of dancers around him, but he played them two tunes, and I think he went and got 8 good hours of sleep.
Yeah, my sister missed that game. I said, oh, girl, you missed out. I got a Bobby Brown show.
Bobby came out there. And, you know, he put it out there.
Shout out to 90s throwback night.
Yes.
Yeah, it was that. It was that indeed. Next guest we got, man, always great to have this guy stop through and have some fun with us and catch up with us from the area with Sportico. Always looking at the business side of sports and our teams. And he's I want to get into this thing he had about Luka coming to the Lakers as well. Eric Jackson, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Great to have you on here with Sam and Jason this morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be back, guys. How's everyone?
Good, good. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Absolutely.
Hey, I love the Bobby Brown, too. We can cut that.
There we go.
Nothing wrong with having a little Bobby Brown. We're going to talk with you a little bit. Let me start with this thing, but since it's been All-Star weekend, you dropped something on when Luka goes over to the Lakers. How much were you surprised by that? Did you have any idea that was going to happen? And you say it's going to be a big deal, a good deal for Brand Jordan.
Oh, man, no doubt about it. I mean, listen, I don't think anybody had that one on their bingo card, right? I think even the commissioner, Adam Silver, said, like, yeah, I was thrown for a bit of a loop myself. So, yeah, crazy trade, definitely one of the biggest shockers in recent memory. And but no doubt, I mean, I think what's interesting is it's definitely huge for Jordan Brand, right? I mean, they've never had a star player in their prime on the Lakers. So, I mean, that's, I'm sure, going from Dallas to L.A., bigger market, bigger lights. I'm sure they're grinning ear to ear for that one, you know, alongside arguably the greatest player that's played the game, right? So that's a huge win for them.
It's always interesting when we're going to analyze a move like that from the on-the-court side of it, but the off-the-court side, you know, talking endorsement, but also – for Dallas, you know, when you're talking about a franchise that moves on from a signature player like that, how can those things affect the business side of the Dallas Mavericks?
Well, I know the Mavericks owner walked into the arena the other day and heard plenty of boos as he walked to his seat. So, you know, he's not the most popular person in town right now. But no doubt, I mean, you see it, right, in ticket sales and across the board, right? I mean, there's no doubt there's going to be a little animosity from the fan base right now from selling. And, you know, I would hate to be in that ticket office right now trying to convince people to open their wallets after a move like that, right? So, but listen, you know, obviously Nico Harrison, he's the GM, he's in charge. He puts his job on the line, and he thinks if AD and Kyrie can mesh well enough and get a title, and, you know, people move on quick, right? So I think if there is success, then I think there can be some, I think there could be, that could be a big solution and people feel a little bit better.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline on this President's Day Monday morning with Eric Jackson from Sportico. He is social. You can find him at EP Jackson at EP Jackson, all lowercase. And of course, you're a product of the area. I know while you are up in New York and you keep an eye on everything, you were at the Super Bowl recently, you do like to keep an eye on things here in your hometown and how the franchises are doing. I know the Hawks, made some trades, changing the roster up a little bit. But you have some thoughts about how some things can go for the Falcons, for the Hawks and Falcons, with some developments that are happening near the arena, right?
No doubt about it. Listen, I know that the Hawks, from a value standpoint, I mean, we all see the cranes in the air, right, in Atlanta and Centennial Yards and huge ambitious project, right, the $5 billion multi-use development. And within the next few years, right, that'll keep getting bigger and bigger. And that certainly, once that's stable, right, that'll definitely add value for not just the Hawks, but the Falcons being right there in that corridor right there. So I'm very curious to see how that's going to look. Obviously, we have the FIFA World Cup matches coming next year, right? So some of that district should be up by then. And then, as we all know, Super Bowl returns to Atlanta too. So I think all of that will look much different, right, from the last time, Atlanta hosted some of those bigger events. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. I mean, obviously, we can talk about everything around it, but what's happening inside the arena, right, and picking up some wins, that'll always be the main driver of any, you know, financial success. So I'm definitely looking to see if, you know, what other moves are going to be made. We saw the Hawks let it go some pieces around the trade deadline, and I think others are waiting if Trae Young's going to be a part of the franchise moving forward. So, interesting. I mean, the Hawks are in an interesting spot, man. They're kind of dipping their toe in a rebuild, but not fully committing. So, I'm waiting just like everyone else to see what the next steps are.
Yeah, things don't necessarily line up the way that they might wish that they would, with Centennial Yards building up and then maybe having more revenues coming in and wanting to spend a little more money and getting into that luxury tax and all those sorts of elements of building a top team. But you mentioned the Falcons benefiting from what's happening in Centennial Yards and anything else in that area benefiting the Hawks too. It's so interesting to have two different ownership groups that are in the same general space and will benefit one another. And you throw Atlanta United into that mix as well from the soccer perspective. Such a kind of symbiotic relationship that they both need to be on the same page to some extent.
No doubt. And both, I think it's safe to say both teams are, you know, being mediocre now. But listen, we'll see. Things can change a lot in both leagues. Listen, in 2-3 years, if both teams are playing really well, I mean, can you imagine opening up that district and both teams are playing really well? I mean, if you can hit, you know, thread the needle perfectly, right, to have that going at the same time while all these big events are coming to town, I mean, that, I think ideally, in Arthur Blank's mind, Tony Wrestler's mind, that would be the ideal moment, right? So I'm very curious to see how that all works out. And, yeah.
Eric, Jason and I were talking, you know, earlier on our show about Atlanta United and its influence, not just in this country, but internationally, how, you know, people in Europe, it kind of caught their attention when 70,000 people showed up at soccer in Atlanta, Georgia. And as a result, we see what we're getting, you know, coming next summer and what's coming this summer. Thoughts about that as this team has retooled, brought back, you know, Almiron, someone who was part of their championship, and just what we could look for really this year, because we're really getting excited about the season that gets started this Saturday for Atlanta United and what it could mean for possibly a championship.
Yeah, no, it's great to see Mickey back, right? I think with all the, you know, with some of the lows the last couple of years, and I think it was refreshing to see him return. And listen, I think, you know, Garf, the president of the United, I think they really do have a plan. I know it's been a little bit choppy, but they have picked it up recently. And like you mentioned, right, when United first got here, right, it was like, I mean, that's arguably the most successful expansion franchise in sports has ever had, right, mm-hmm. to win the title that soon after being established. I mean, that just doesn't happen, right? So I think, you know, it's like an artist, right? You have a one-hit wonder, you come out strong, and, you know, sometimes it can be tough to get back to that early success. But obviously United's trying to get back to that and get steady. And you know, I think it's certainly possible, right? I mean, and you mentioned everything else. U.S. Soccer is headquartered in Atlanta. I mean, mm-hmm. this momentum that the decade's having, I mean, this is the most important decade for soccer in this country, right, with the World Cup and the momentum with the MLS and NWSL, the Women's League, and, you know, and don't forget the NWSL too, right? I mean, Atlanta's 100%. Been a team as well, right, for a women's soccer team. So keep that in mind as we talk about United down the road when the time arises to put their name in the hat for a woman's team. So, yeah, no doubt about it. That's got to capitalize United on this moment. Take advantage.
I'd love to pick your brain on just the soccer side of it. That's where I come from, calling the Atlanta United games, and the business side of how everything intersects is so fascinating to me, because, you know, I remember the days when pro soccer was played in high school football stadiums in Atlanta not that long ago. And now you've got a team that is drawing on a regular basis right on par with NFL, with NBA, with Major League Baseball. That's not happening in every market in the country, but it's getting there. Just the general effect of the growth of soccer in American sports business. You know, I know it's something with Sportico you guys talk about a lot. It feels like one of those big elements of changing the sports business and as a whole in the landscape. Soccer is a driver now of revenue.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think, like you mentioned, there was a time when MLS was kind of looked at as certainly not in the Big Four, right? I think now, generally, we talk about the Big Five, right? I think now we give MLS credit of being a part of the other major leagues, right? But I think there was certainly a time where we would just say the Big Four and would never mention them that way. So, and yeah, I mean, listen, LAFC has kind of become the flagship team in the MLS, and I think they've dethroned United over the years, but that's okay. United can get back. But yeah, I mean, LAFC is over $1 billion in valuation, right? Like, I think for a lot of MLS owners, they couldn't have ever imagined a team being worth $1 billion, right? So, Inter Miami, what Messi's done for the league and just drawing international eyeballs. And so, no doubt. And then I think, like I was mentioning just about this overall, this period, this decade, World Cup returning to the States is just huge for the league overall, just hosting. And then as well, you got to think too, like, there's other investments coming in from like overseas, right? And I think more players are more interested too of just playing on the teams. So yeah, overall, lots more investment, much more revenue coming in. Still not quite like the Big Four, right? But they're certainly getting there as soccer becomes more popular in this country.
Yeah. Wrapping up with Eric Jackson. What do we look for from you? What do you have coming up next?
Yeah, man. Well, for me, with NFL season kind of quieting down, right, I'm turning a lot to the W now, right? We have a CBA looming, which is pretty important, which is going to kind of a pivotal moment for the WNBA. And the facilities race that's happening around for teams and free agency and unrivaled, right? The startup league is happening in Miami right now. So a lot of emerging leagues and a lot of mature leagues that are trying to carve their path. So focused on those guys for sure.
Okay. Does Unrivaled end up helping the WNBA in your mind?
Yeah, well, for now, right? I think for now, yes. But eventually, once both leagues are fighting for each other's sponsors and dollars, right, I think eventually, for now, they're teammates. But I think as Unrivaled grows, they become competitors.
We'll be watching for that. We'll be watching for that. And everything else you have, once again, he is social, folks. Follow him at E.P. Jackson, at E.P. Jackson. Eric Jackson from Sportico. Always great catching up with you, man. Proud of what you're doing. And thanks so much for spending some time with your folks back home.
No doubt, Sam. Thank you, as always, man. You guys have a great holiday.
All right. That is Eric Jackson from Sportico. I think we're from Roswell. Shout out to Roswell. It's your folks. He's all over the place. Great to spend some time with us to chat with us this morning. All right, going to the 9 o'clock hour. It is opening week for Major League Soccer. And, boy, the spotlight will shine brightly on here in Atlanta with Atlanta United, the potential for what we think this season can produce. And, man, I'm here with Jason Longshore. We're going to hear from Jared Smith also during this hour. You stay with us for the 9 o'clock hour as now we go into the Steakhouse. That's here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.